The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, the Church celebrates Christmas as a season. Not just the 12 days of Christmas leading to the Epiphany, but even up to the baptism of the Lord. One, because it's one of the biggest celebrations, the biggest events we celebrate as Christians, both the birth of Jesus and then his death and resurrection that we celebrate for a whole season at Easter. But also because the incarnation of Jesus wasn't just about his birth. But after the birth of Jesus, it kind of starts to expand. That God coming into the world and that good news starts to manifest itself, which is really the meaning of the word epiphany. First, when those three wise men from the east come to do him homage, and then throughout the events of his life, throughout things like the baptism in the Jordan, through the beginning of his public ministry with the miracle at the wedding feast at Cana, things like the presentation and the finding in the temple, all those things are examples of Jesus being God made flesh, being the word that has come to us. That God doesn't stay far away, but that he comes into our lives to save us and comes to do that work over and over and over again. That it didn't just happen in one moment, but kind of expands and grows throughout his life. And in this gospel, in this event of the baptism of the Lord, he invites us to become like Jesus. That he wants us to be his sons and daughters. We believe that happens in the sacrament of baptism as well. But Jesus' baptism was very different than our baptism. We know Jesus was older. He was an adult. He didn't need to be forgiven of any sins. But after his baptism, he's sent on mission. And another version of this, which we usually read right at the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, so many of you are probably familiar with it, that right after the baptism of the Lord in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is driven out into the desert. He's taken out to be tempted for 40 days, but also to go and do his mission, to go and bring back, win back God's people for the heavenly kingdom, to take them back from the grasp and power of the evil one. That for Jesus, this moment of his baptism isn't just about fixing his original sin, like we often think of our baptism. It wasn't about giving him something he didn't have before, like we receive that spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. But instead, it's about proclaiming to the world who he is, that he is the Son of God, and that even before he does anything good, even before he does any miracles or goes and saves the world by his death and resurrection, that because he is the Son of the Father, God is pleased with him. That as a Son of the Father, living 30-some years on the world, really without any significant events, any significant impact on the world's salvation, even in that moment, the Father is well pleased with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that is what God wants to remind us so often. Is that he wants us to do righteous and good things, to become saints, to do things that glorify him. But even before that, he is pleased with us. That he knows the goodness of us in our hearts. He knows our identity as his sons and daughters. That nothing can take that away. And how does Jesus hear this voice? How is this proclaimed to the world that he is the Son with whom the Father is well pleased? Luke, the gospel we read today, is the only one that mentions that this is after the baptism as Jesus was praying. I think he wants to remind us actually of something that will happen later that Luke will write about in the Acts of the Apostles. That in many ways, this story mirrors the story of Pentecost. When the apostles are with Mary in the upper room, praying, and the Holy Spirit descends upon them. That strong driving wind and tongues of fire. That in that moment they are praying, and in this moment Jesus is praying. It's not just in the waters being baptized, it's not that something is happening, but in that moment of prayer is when Jesus' identity as the Son of God is most clear. I think if you want to look at it from the perspective of Jesus, that it's when he is in prayer, that is when he knows he is the Son of the Father. Not necessarily when he's performing miracles. Not necessarily when he's going out and preaching and people are listening to him. But it's in that moment of prayer, in those moments of quiet, that he knows his identity and knows that the Father is pleased with him. And then out of that identity as the Son of God, then he can go and do his mission. Then he can go and be driven out into the desert. Then he can go and perform miracles and preach and even be led to the cross for our salvation. Because in that prayer, in that quiet of his heart, he knows his identity as the Son of God, with whom the Father is well pleased. I think Luke the Evangelist wants the early Christians to remember that when they read this story and when they read about Pentecost. That they, too, are sons and daughters of God, and from that identity is where they can go and do his good work. Because we don't do the work so that the Father can be pleased with us. But because we are his sons and daughters, we want to make the world more like his heavenly kingdom. Not to leave it as it is in the reign of sin and evil. So brothers and sisters, as we remember Jesus' baptism, let us pray that we can remember our own identity as his sons and daughters. That through our own baptism, we've been given a new life and a new relationship to the Father. It's not just about us being his slaves or ones that do what he wants us to do, but that we truly are sons and daughters with whom he is well pleased. He's not pleased just because we do all the right things all the time, but he is pleased because of who we are, our identity through Christ as sons and daughters. And that the more we know that and renew it in our prayer, the more we go to him in the quiet of our hearts, knowing that he cares for us and is pleased in us, then the more we can go and do his work, the more we can go and bring God's heavenly kingdom into the world, as Jesus does after his own baptism, fulfilling that mission for which he was chosen from the beginning of the world. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for that grace through the Holy Spirit today. That our identity as sons and daughters of God the Father will be the most important thing in our lives always. And then when we struggle to find it, we can go back to him in our prayer, calling upon him as Jesus taught as Father, knowing that he cares for us and sees our needs, knowing that if we turn to him, he will echo that phrase he said to Jesus on the day of his baptism, that he can say to us, "You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased."